got a PowerPoint. And is that on for everyone? Can I have a thumbs up if you can see my PowerPoint? Excellent. Oh, let's go back. So that's Tammy and Adam with their new baby, my first grandchild, Felix Alexander, named after Alexander, after my dad. So he's very pleased. And so that's why we're here in London. So we're going to start today with a bold witness. We are the fragrance of God to those around us. Welcome to some, less to others. And Paul asks them to pray for him that he might declare the gospel boldly. Wise words of witness as we are ambassadors of Christ. And now Andy's going to do my Bible readings for me. Oh, hold on, you're going to have to.
Okay, from 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16. But thanks be to God, for through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us, so that now, wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. As far as God is concerned, there is a sweet, wholesome fragrance in our lives. It is the fragrance of Christ within us, an aroma to both the saved and the unsaved all around us. To those who are not being saved, we seem a fearful smell of death and doom, while to those who know Christ, we are a life-giving perfume. But who is adequate for such a task as this? Only those who, like ourselves, are men of integrity, sent by God, speaking with Christ's power, with God's eyes upon us. We are not like those hucksters, and there are many of them, whose idea in getting out the gospel is to make a good living out of it. And then our next reading from Ephesians 6, 19 to 20. While I wait for my attractive assistant to get it on the screen.
It's not working.
I have a plan. Oh, here we are. We have the technology. Ephesians 6, pray for me too and ask God to give me the right words as I boldly tell others about the Lord. And as I explain to them that his salvation is for the Gentiles too. I am in chains now for preaching this message from God. But pray that I will keep on speaking out boldly for him, even here in prison, as I should.
Right. So, when I think about being sweet and wholesome, I think of a Disney character. And wouldn't you just like to be like her, where everybody loves you and... you know, her sweetness is just so great. But of course, the wicked stepmother and the and the stepsisters, her sweetness absolutely infuriates them. And I'd like to think that I am like Cinderella, but actually, real life is not like that. We're not born sweet and kind. And we're born with that common sin to everybody. We're born in that sin of selfishness and original sin. So thinking about it, there are deep dark parts in me that I don't even acknowledge to myself. And I'm sure that most of us, if we're honest, will find that we are the same. And some years ago, I read a book by Heidi Baker, and it was called There's Always Enough. And it really inspired me, because coming from Africa, I understand the difficulties of getting anything done there. And she managed to do a children's home there. And she talked about being filled with the Spirit. And I was very, very impressed with it. And so when I heard, when we were living in London, I mean, we must be going back about 20 years now, I heard that Heidi and Roland Baker were coming to speak. And I was really keen to listen to Heidi, because I had been so inspired by her book. But she unfortunately was too ill to come speak. So Roland came, her husband. Now, I knew nothing about Roland. And in the book, she must have mentioned him, but I hadn't sort of clicked into it. Anyway, this man walked up the aisle in this church, and I smelt something sweet, a very faint sweet smell. And somebody next to me said, "That is the fragrance of the Holy Spirit." And I was like, wow. Anyway, as he walked further up, a couple of people were just slain in the spirit. They were just falling down. And I was like, oh, this is different. Anyway, when he'd finished speaking, he came back down, and this man, filled with the Holy Spirit, just reached out his hand and he touched people's, just people's heads, and they just flat out in the aisles. It was amazing. And I thought, there is a man who has died to himself and has allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. The anointing on Roland was phenomenal. Now, I realize and recognize my dependence on Jesus, and it's only because Jesus has covered me with his righteousness, his robe of righteousness, that I'm acceptable in the presence of God. You know, in order to be this sweet, wholesome fragrance, I need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I can't stand here before you in my own name, because let's face it, nobody wants to hear what I, Audrey Humphreys, has to say. But people will sit up and listen to what comes out of my mouth if it's God's words. And you know, my God's words spoken through my mouth are just as powerful as when spoken through his mouth. So if I try to be a sweet fragrance and boldly speak about Christ in my own strength, then actually I just often will be offensive. And I can pretend, and we can all pretend, that we are being offensive because the gospel's offensive, when actually it's just us. So we need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit in order to be that fragrance and to speak out boldly. But when we're anointed and speaking out for Christ, we can be very offensive to those who've rejected Jesus, because quite frankly, we will be a fearful smell of doom and death. So how do we get this anointing? It is costly, and we have to die to ourselves in order to receive it. And the Old Testament gives us some lovely concrete examples to work on before it prepares us for the abstract idea of the Holy Spirit anointing. And so now I am just going to hand back to Mark so that we can do a bit more singing. Right, so being a Christian, We don't give our lives to God one night and the next morning wake up like Heidi and Roland Baker, filled with the Spirit and doing amazing things. It's a walk, and we need to understand that. And the anointing oil that is given to us in the New Testament kind of describes what we've got to do and the situations that we will be put in order to be refined and to be anointed. So now this is my PowerPoint, and I'm told reliably that it will kick back into life. So I'm asking it nicely, and it's still not, you know, this really technology. No, come on. Okay, I might have to go back to the beginning and whiz through it all.
Try enter our space if you can, Audrey. See if you can go with that again.
I'm there. Hold on. There we are. But we've got to whiz through. Oh, no, there we are. Okay, Genesis. In Genesis 30, we've got the anointing oil. And it says, "Then the Lord told Moses to collect the choicest of spices, 18 pounds of pure myrrh, half as much of cinnamon and of sweet calamus, the same amount of cassia as of myrrh, and 1.5 gallons of olive oil. And the Lord instructed skilled perfume makers to compound all this into a holy anointing oil. And so we're going to go through each of these ingredients, and it will hopefully become clear to you. So we've got myrrh. Now, myrrh is a resin or a gum that comes from a tiny shrub, and it's really bitter to taste. If anyone's ever tasted it, you really won't ever want to do that again. But it has a beautiful fragrance that gave it a huge, great value in biblical times. And myrrh means bitter, and it represents the office of prophet as brought by the wise men at Jesus's birth. Now, in order for Jesus to become that perfect sacrifice, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And myrrh symbolizes the life of true discipleship to the Lord. And in Luke 14, 27, we see, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And that's quite hard teaching. Our joy is found in forsaking everything to follow the call of God. This requires obedience, conquering our pride, putting ourselves aside. We need to take the lowliest place in our churches and set our hearts on things such as loving those who have nothing to give in return, serving others behind the scenes where no one can applaud, and being content to take a supporting role to help a leader secure a spiritual victory. And the cross represents our responsibilities as Jesus' servants. As his disciples, we can't learn his ways if our ways are more important to us. And the anointing oil of the Spirit lives in us and is developed in those who've laid down their lives for him. Tough teaching, but worth it. Then we go on to cinnamon. Now, cinnamon comes from the bark of a tree, and it has a certain fragrance. I love cooking with cinnamon, and I've learned that if you put it in meat dishes, it really brings out the flavor. Now, the root meaning of the word cinnamon is to erect or to stand upright. And the flower of the tree smells offensive. It is a little bit stinky, but the bark is sweet. And this represents God's people who are living among a corrupt and perverted society with a challenge to divinely influence it. And the stinky flowers represent the corrupt influences surrounding the church. And we are called to stand upright in the midst of this. So when we cry out to God and we say, "Oh Lord, I am the only Christian in my workplace, in my village, wherever I am, and it's really hard," remember, God has put you there to work his anointing in you. And in Philippians 2, 14 to 16, it says, "In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life." So we're called to be salt and light in the world. And if we hide ourselves away from hurting, needing people, the anointing in us remains untapped. But when we reach out to the brokenhearted, the captive, the bruised, the mourning, the desolate, and the outcast, we will also find Jesus and that fragrant anointing. We are set apart as believers. Although we're physically in the world, we really are not of it. Then we come to sweet calamus. Now, sweet calamus was a tall reed that grew in a hostile environment of miry clay, and it means branch or reed. And this speaks of us of living in Jesus, being like the branches of a vine. Sweet calamus is a rod of strength. It's a channel, it's a branch through which that anointing oil can flow. And if we continue to maintain our relationship with Jesus, nothing in our environment can keep us from bearing fruit. We can be placed in the worst situations of existence and still sing. And I'm thinking of the wonderful example of people like Corrie Ten Boom, who no matter how awful her situation was, she still gave God praise and worship. And Paul, as he's writing in the passages that Andy read, he was in prison, and that was, by all accounts, pretty awful and pretty stinky. And yet he was still able to worship and praise God. Now we have cassia, and cassia is found in the bark of a shrub, a little bit like cinnamon, but different. It has a purple flower and it grows in high altitudes. And the biblical meaning of cassia is bowing down, as in bowing down before the Lord in reverent worship. So this implies the humbling of ourselves in total surrender to God, giving him all glory, honor, and thanksgiving. And the true anointing flows out of a heart that is yielded to the will of the Father. Cassia speaks to us of worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. And the high altitude symbolizes the exaltation of God after seasons of bowing before him. Doesn't happen immediately, it's after seasons. And the color purple represents royalty, the reward of the Lord. And in Proverbs 22:4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And then our last ingredient is the olive oil. And the olive oil was used to bind all the spices together. And this blending together of sweet and bitter speaks to us of the unity involved in the holy anointing of the Lord upon his ministers. And we have Psalm 133.
How wonderful it is, how pleasant, when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the fragrant anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head and ran down onto his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew on Mount Hermon, on the mountains of Israel. And God has pronounced this eternal blessing on Jerusalem, even life forevermore.
So, whoops. Just turning my pages over. Unity is vitally important for the body of Christ. And those who make it their aim to bring the body of Christ together will find that anointing living and growing in their lives and in their ministries. But those people who choose, possibly through their own insecurities, to build their own kingdoms and criticize other believers, will find the anointing of the Lord beginning to lift from them. Using the anointing for anything other than God's purposes is forbidden. The Holy Spirit uses us. We cannot ever use him. Disregarding God's commands when flowing in the anointing will result often being cut off from your body or, you know, your ministry. In God, and the holy oil will not be used except in submission to God's order and design. This anointing is holy and precious. It is costly. And so we can see that we've got the five ingredients blended together to constitute this holy anointing oil. And the number five is really significant here, because it represents the grace of God in the atonement. And it is only because of God's abundant grace that the anointing oil is provided. Being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. It requires a daily sacrifice if we are to be the sweet fragrance that Paul urges us to be. And when we are fully anointed, then speaking for Christ just comes naturally. And so I just want us to pray now. Father God, thank you that you have given us your anointing. Help us to just submit to you. We just pray that you will give us the grace to walk through the hard things in life that you give us to bear. Refine us, Lord. Help us to channel our anointing into your works. Let us die to ourselves and live for you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to hand